WPHM now presents Paul Miller's Week in Review.
Morning, everybody. It was another busy week on the WPHM Morning Show. On Monday, we talked to Fort Gratiot Township's new fire chief, Mike Fromina, stopped by. He's new to the area, but no stranger to Michigan. Fort Gratiot Fire Chief Mike Fromina with us on Monday on WPHM.
Well, the background is I was born in Detroit, raised on the west side. We moved to Livonia, and then I went to high school at Bishop Borges in Detroit, Redford Township. Decided after a few years, I went to broadcasting school, and I wanted to chase my dream, and that was to be a firefighter.
Yeah.
And that led me to my journeys across the country.
And back home again now, back to Fort Gratiot. What's it like being back in Michigan?
It feels surreal but good.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like I'm home. And it just takes, you know, there's other components that have to happen that it's truly going to be home for me.
Yeah.
One of those is time. And, you know, we had my swearing-in ceremony last week, badge pinning. I had a bunch of friends, you know, from Kentucky and Cincinnati, Ohio, and Indiana that came up. But there was a lot of my friends that I've known for 30 years here in Michigan that came, plus my new family here at Fort Gratiot.
You got to tell all those friends and family about how cool this area is. Your impressions of the greater Port Huron, Fort Gratiot, St. Clair County area?
Oh, I love it. I've been here before. You know, I would come up here camping and going up to the tip of the thumb to go camping. So I'm familiar with the area, but, you know, I'm having the deja vu feeling all over again, you know, driving up 25 and like, oh, I've been here before. And Saturday, I just wanted to go drive and ended up in Lexington and drove around a little bit and just seeing areas that, you know, it just felt good.
Yeah. Just wait till summer. Wait till it gets nice.
Oh, I can't wait.
Pretty nice fire hall to be walking into as well. It's a new state-of-the-art facility there.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing, as a new chief coming in, you look at the big picture. And before I even came and interviewed, I wanted to see what it was about, the community, the schools, the churches, the department, the people. Little funny story is I was called, Mr. Crawford called me for an interview, and the Saturday before I drove up thinking I'd sliding undercover and nobody would recognize me, and I went to the township park off of Metcalf, and immediately I met two young ladies, their sisters, they're walking their dog, my son and I were there, and they were just very welcoming. And I said, you know, this is the kind of people I want to be around. These are nice people. And then I saw the statue of the miner, and then I started reading about it. And a lot of those miners that were killed were from Kentucky. And that's where I'm coming from. So it's like, you know, these things are pulling at me. So once I got to the firehouse, and one of the gentlemen there recognized me because he was on the hiring committee. So he called me out instantly. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But having the opportunity to come home, a great community, a great department, you know, I can't say anything bad about any experience that I've had other than it's been cold.
Yeah, well, you know that.
Yeah.
You're from Michigan, so you know what that's like. What do you want people to know about the Fort Gratiot Township Fire Department?
Well, we're always there for them. You know, that's one of the things that we're here is, you know, we're servants to the public. Whether it's a house fire or a medical emergency or their pipe bursts at, you know, 3 a.m, they just need us, that we're always there. And that's the service that we've provided for years. But now that I'm here, we're going to take it up another notch. We're going to get more active in the community. Not saying we weren't before, but one of the things that we haven't done in the history of the department was an open house, which really floored me. So my very first day on the job, that was my second decision, was we're going to have an open house. And I sat down with some of our personnel, and we picked a day and said, this is what we're going with. Now, my first decision was about garbage bags.
But, I was going to ask you that, but thank you for answering that. Talking with the new fire chief in Fort Gratiot Township, Chief Mike Frominus. You've been a firefighter for a long time. What kind of changes have you seen in terms of technology, other things in firefighting?
I've seen tremendous leaps and bounds. When I first started, you know, we still had firefighters that were in rubber boots with no bunker pants and long coats, and guys, you know, and gals didn't wear their hoods. And so now the job has become more scientific as technology has improved to the point where there's air packs that you can track through a structure and see where your people are to help prevent, you know, firefighters getting lost and ultimately a line of duty death, those type of things. Apparatus. When I first started in 1989, you could buy a brand new fire engine for about $160,000. And now we're pushing $1 million. So as the new chief, you know, I take the responsibility to be a good steward of the people's money and looking at, okay, what can we do to save money but also provide the best service? And that's what I said last Saturday to my people. I'm going to do my very best to make sure that you go home at the end of your shift or at the end of the call. And I specifically address that to their spouses and their families. But I'm going to do what I can to provide the best training, the best equipment, and the best environment for our people.
As Fort Gratiot's new fire chief, Mike Frominus, talking to us Monday on the morning show. I'm Paul Miller, looking back at some of the conversations we had this past week. The mayor of Port Huron announced that she will run for re-election in the fall. Pauline Rep told us on Tuesday she gave it a lot of careful thought and consideration.
Well, you know what? It's funny because I have tossed this back and forth, and it's real easy to get caught up in the negativity of, you know, some things some at times. And so, you know, I kind of was weighing everything. But, you know, actually I was in Washington, D.C. this past week. And, you know, it kind of gives you a renewed sense of purpose, I guess. And that sounds a little strange, perhaps, but you realize what it's all about and what you're doing and the good you can do. So I thought, you know, I would really like to continue. I think a lot of good things have happened in Port Huron, and you have to remember that. And I think there's still a lot of good things to continue into the future. And certainly I would like to be part of it. I think I have a lot to contribute still. And, you know, lately maybe it's like a little sign or whatever. I seem to be running into a lot of people at different places, grocery stores, et cetera. And these are people that really don't know me, know who I am, but don't know me. And, you know, with a lot of encouragement and, you know, thanking me for doing a good job. So I was encouraged, renewed, and I would like to move forward.
In moving forward, what do you see in the next couple of years as things that you want to achieve or things that you want to, you know, be a part of for the city of Port Huron?
Well, you know, we have a lot of things that are still, you know, kind of going on, I guess I would say. You know, we're moving from the fire station that we're at into the new one over there on 10th Street, rather. And certainly there's going to be a lot of discussion then about the development of that property. That's very important moving forward. Development of the Dunn Paper site, whether or not we're going to move City Hall, working with whomever we can to work toward improving housing for our residents. Also, there's you know, a child care shortage in our community. So, I mean, there's a lot of issues moving forward that have been there, and certainly we've taken a big stab at a lot of those issues, and you know, our financial situation is good. And moving forward. So that's one thing that's off the plate for the moment. And not that we don't have to pay attention, certainly, but, you know, our ducks are all in a row that way. So I think there's a lot of things that we have to work on in the next couple of years, and I'd like to be part of it.
You mentioned the Dunn Paper site, the City Hall, and there's a lot of waterfront property that could potentially be developed.
Absolutely. And of course, even the property that's not ours, which is the Atchison site. And, you know, when you think about it, there is a lot of waterfront and a lot of plans are going to have to be made to develop those sites and make it the best thing we can for our community.
Pauline Rep, the mayor of Port Huron, announcing her reelection bid earlier this week with us on Tuesday on the morning show. I'm Paul Miller, looking back at some of our conversations from this past week. Michigan's new gun laws went into effect on February 13th, a year to the day after a mass shooting at Michigan State University. Well, we wanted to know more about what's in those laws, what it means for the average gun owner. We talked with Lieutenant Nick Godwin and Steve Gilliatt from the St. Clair County Prosecutor's Office about that on Wednesday.
So one of the new big changes in the law is that in the past, you had to obtain a purchase permit to buy a pistol. Mm-hmm. Now, under these new changes, an individual that wants to either buy or even be gifted a gun needs to obtain a purchase permit for any kind of firearm. So that would include shotguns, rifles, and in the past, no permits were needed for those things. So those are going to affect law enforcement because that's where they're initially going to go to obtain that, and it's obviously affecting firearm dealers and on the first day that these laws came out, I got a good handful of phone calls from concerned citizens asking, you know, does this mean I can't hunt with my child? And so there is a lot of confusion about it.
So if I wanted to go buy a gun today, I would need a permit for that.
Correct.
And I get that from?
You would go to your local law enforcement agency and you'd get what is called a purchase permit. They would run a background check on you. The whole purpose of these are these universal background checks. So, and then that purchase permit is good for 30 days. And if you have a CPL, a concealed pistol license, you don't need to obtain one, or if you're an MCOL certified police officer, but there a lot of people are not. And one of the areas of confusion with the law is that a gift. So if I were to give a firearm away, the person that is receiving that would need to obtain a purchase permit. So it's not just buying from a federal firearm dealer. It's it really does encompass a lot.
Is there a cost to get that permit?
There is a cost, and it's going to vary from department to department. There are some limitations set by the state. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
And what's involved in the background check? What are they looking into?
What they're looking into are people that have convictions for certain offenses, which brings us to a new area of the law because there are now additional offenses that prohibit firearm possession or ownership, namely domestic violence. So in the past, if a person had misdemeanor convictions, for the most part, it's not going to affect his or her ability to possess or own a gun. And there's now a whole group of laws that prohibit possession or ownership for 8 years. So it's quite a lengthy time.
All right. So number one, got to get the permit in order to buy a firearm. What else?
So you got to get the permit. You got to qualify, obviously, with that check. There's also a bunch of new laws relating to safe storage. Mm-hmm. So the purpose of those laws are to make sure that if you're in a household where there's kids, where you either have kids or you expect kids to be over, that guns need to be in a lockbox or a gun safe or be unloaded and have a trigger lock mechanism. And that's something also now that is going to be going with every gun sold, there's going to be these trigger locks.
Mm-hmm. Nick, if somebody makes a call and says, my neighbor has a gun out on the kitchen table or something like that, what do you do then?
Well, we'll investigate it and find out, is it even real, right? It's tough to tell from a distance, and so we'll investigate it and use our time to find out if the law is being broken, if people are in jeopardy. We'll obviously take action that we need to, and if charges are appropriate, we'll submit charges to the prosecutor's office to have the individual charged. I believe there are the penalties build. If it's just unsafe storage, it's a misdemeanor. If somebody's hurt, depending on the severity of the injury, the time frame for the penalties increase and they become felonies and whatnot. So the big thing is just to try to let everybody know that if you have kids around, which should be common sense, but sometimes it's not, to lock those up. And if you have a firearm in your home and you're a City of Port Huron resident, come to the police department. We'll give you a lock for your gun so you can be in compliance with the law and keep everyone safe while you store that in your home if you need one. If you live out in the county, you know, go to the sheriff's office. I'm not 100% sure they have them, but I would venture a good bet that they will. And if they don't, they'll have them soon, because this is a new law that if I purchased a gun a few years ago from my father, he might not have had a gun lock at the time, and now I need to get one.
Yeah.
And I would like to add, that's great what Port Huron is doing and what I believe Sheriff's going to be doing as well in making these gun locks free of charge, because Governor Whitmer did sign some legislation, no sales tax on these things, to try to make it more accessible to individuals. But the fact that our local departments are actually giving them away, I really think says a lot about this community.
The other component in this new legislation is the red flag laws.
Yes. Michigan now, I think we're the 21st state. Minnesota's also coming on board this year. So we have these laws to call red flag laws. That's the general term. In Michigan, they're actually considered extreme risk protection orders. And essentially what these laws aim to do is it allows family members, law enforcement, mental health professionals, dating relationships, all those kind of relationship situations, if a person is concerned that someone has access to guns or may get a gun and harm him or herself or someone else with that gun, a petition can be filed with our family division court and to seek an order to have those guns removed for a period of 1 year. So basically the guns, if the court approved them, the guns would be removed for up to 1 year, safe, in police custody. And then at the expiration, if there were no issues, the person gets their guns back.
So, Nick, what do you folks do at the Port Huron Police Department if you get that call? Look, and we had a case just a week or so ago with a barricaded gunman situation with hostages. If somebody says, I know that somebody in my home or somebody that I know has guns and they're a risk, what happens then?
Well, they're going to have to file the paperwork to go in front of Judge Damon, and he'll take all the information in and determine, yes, this qualifies, this is what the law was intended to do, and we need to take action and protect this individual and others. And the individual is provided an opportunity to turn the firearms into us. If the judge decides, you know what, I don't agree, there isn't enough here, this is more of just a personal squabble between a couple parties, then he denies it and we don't do anything. So we leave it up to a neutral third party to make those determinations. And in St. Clair County, I believe Judge Damon will be hearing all the cases to keep it consistent.
That is correct, and I think that's a great idea on the court's behalf, because we're going to have consistency with the courts. And Judge Damon is going to weigh the evidence when one of these cases gets filed and determine whether or not the burden has been satisfied to authorize the removal of those. Because obviously we're talking a person's gun rights, which are obviously protected by the Second Amendment, but also weighing that with respect to safety issues. So. Yeah. It is quite a balancing test, and Judge Damon, I know, has been very diligent as we have been trying to learn these new laws and educate our law enforcement partners, and so that they, when they get called, they can also let families know, hey, this is something that's available, because historically, these laws are relatively new still.
Yeah, along with rights come responsibility.
Exactly.
And we've talked about this before, of course, Nick, about, see something, say something. If you know somebody, might be at risk, if you see, somebody not storing their guns properly, now there are laws in place to make sure that, that's enforced, right?
Right, and the intent in this law is a great thing, to try to prevent those tragedies from happening. We always hear people say, oh, I always thought that guy would do this, or I thought this girl would do that, and why didn't you say something? This could have been prevented. Yeah. This is a needless act. So now we have a mechanism that's a little easier. There's some specific law just to this point that we can take action if it is necessary. But with that, can come some misuse of the law, and if people are found to be lying about these statements that they have to file with the court, they can be held criminally liable for those statements.
I think for most gun owners that are responsible gun owners, there's nothing that they need to be aware of.
No,
just keep doing what you're doing.
Most of I think most of our residents here in St. Clair County were a county that we have a lot of hunters. I think there won't be any change.
Other than the permit.
Yep.
When you go to buy the gun,
The permit is definitely going to affect anyone that wishes to come in possession of a gun after the 13th. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's really going to be status quo for most individuals, because most responsible gun owners, they're locking their guns up anyways. Yeah. They're not leaving loaded guns or even guns around children. It's we didn't need a law on that for a lot of people, but sadly, in today's day and age, we do for some individuals. Yeah.
One additional thing that's a common question we've heard through this training that we've been going on this month is this law retroactive? I was given these guns last year, or I bought a shotgun last year, and it is not retroactive. It's anything after February 13th, right, if you purchase or sell, that these laws apply to.
Absolutely, yeah.
Steve Gilliatt from the prosecutor's office, along with Lieutenant Nick Godwin from the Port Huron Police Department, joining us Wednesday on the morning show here on WPHM. Finally, the Huron Lady 2 is now under new ownership. Dustin and Christy Walker came in to talk about their new purchase on Wednesday.
Well, it's a long story, but it started with my growing up love the water. I blame my father for instilling that in me. But I have so many great memories of a child being on the water. And so when we had our family, I wanted to make sure that our kids had that fun experience growing up as well. So we managed to do that, but now they're at a point in their lives where they're going into high school. They don't want to hang out with mom and dad that much anymore. They'd rather be with their friends. So came the opportunity presented itself to buy the Huron Lady, and I thought, what a better way to keep the kids involved in the water
there
than
you
to
go.
Make them employees.
Put them to work.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Not a bad plan.
Yep. So when Jenny proposed that she was looking to move on to different things, I brought it up to Christy, and I couldn't believe she wanted to do it.
What made absolutely. You say yes?
Well, back in 2019, Dustin decided that he wanted to go after his captain's license, and I thought it took a lot of courage for him to do that, especially since he earned his hours aboard the Huron Lady 2 for that 100-ton license, and he had to clean toilets and bartend, and no task too menial for him. And I thought that showed a lot of courageousness and taught our daughters a valuable lesson. So I've always wanted to own a family business. I've always wanted to give that experience to our daughters, because as we know, more is caught than taught. And having them watch us go through this process, I think, has been a big deal. And then, you know, we've spent the better part of their childhood on Lake Huron in the St. Clair River. Those were our family vacations. Those are where our core memories are with the kids over the summers. And I would like to bring that to other families to show them that you don't have to travel as far up north. You know, the Thumb Coast really has everything you need in your backyard.
It really does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Dustin, you've spent a good number of hours aboard the Huron Lady 2, haven't you?
I actually had my bachelor party on it. Yeah.
Could be another story for another time.
Yeah, actually.
But, I mean, tell us about the boat for people maybe not that familiar with the Huron Lady 2.
She is a great passenger vessel. She carries 100 passengers. We do daily sightseeing tours, 90-minute tours in the river out to the lighthouse. And then we also do private charters. So for family events or business Christmas in July parties or things like that.
Congratulations to the new owners of the Huron Lady 2, Dustin and Christy Walker, with us earlier this week on the WPHM Morning Show. I'm Paul Miller. See you back here Monday and every weekday, 6 till 10, for the Morning Show on WPHM.